Specifically, something ought to be on Earth for the more highly developed species. Answer, you're wrong there. Specifically, for the more highly developed species there is simply at the very least your fate. You are animals for them. Animals in a very large lab. Understandably, an alien intervention on your planet would disturb their projects, but I don't think that they accept a confrontation with other species for it. Many of them could look for another research planet for themselves, or they could study over a long distance your behavior and your consciousness. Awareness, since crisis situations could have an attraction for their studies. Whenever you people take a look at an anthill, and another person comes along and steps on the anthill, what do? You go on your way, or you search for another anthill, or you observe the ants in their crisis condition. But would one of you, even though he were larger and the more powerful than the one who stepped on the anthill in the first place, defend the meaningless ants? No. You have to imagine for yourself the viewpoint of the more highly advanced creatures. You are the ants. Don't expect any help from them. Of course, we would also ask for help when it became clear that your old partners were ganging up on you. Some members of that human government are fully aware of our existence, also partially owing to an old religious basis. For example, there is a gigantic partially underground building in the capital which is totally dedicated to my species, and that also has a direct approach to an elevator shaft and to an underground system. In this building, partial meetings have taken place and do take place between us and humans. We have passed on information to you in the last few years. According to what I know, we will keep ourselves as far away from the conflict as we can. You ought to learn to solve your own problems yourselves, or to become intelligent enough never to create those kinds of situations. What will come and who will possibly place themselves on your side, only time will tell. I really do not want to make any indications about that. Question: I have here 5 prints of different UFOs, which claim to show UFOs. Can you take a look at the pictures and tell me in which of them actual extraterrestrial aerial craft can be seen? Answer: I can try it. You pose many questions to me today which even I cannot answer unequivocally. Don't overestimate my knowledge. I'm no expert in alien technology and the construction of extraterrestrial ships. To be sure, there are mostly some technical details and peculiarities about genuine UFOs, with whose help one can easily differentiate them from natural phenomena or human forgeries. You falsify sometimes the pattern of genuine ships, therefore, it is not so easy simply with absolute certainty to identify an object. I'll try it. Show me the photos. Comment by Olay K. She considered the pictures respectively for only a couple of seconds and then sorted out photos 1, 3 and 5. These are 3 pictures here, obvious counterfeits or erroneous identifications. In the one picture, it certainly seems to me that a real existing ship of an alien species was adapted for a small model here. It lacks important characteristics which are tied in with the technically and physically associated field. Generally speaking, a picture is all the more a fake. The clearer the outline and the colors are, because a levitating ship is generally hidden in a shifted field condition that even distorts the colors or the forms according to alignment. It might perhaps sound strange, but hazy and spectrally shifted photos are sometimes to be interpreted as an indication for a possibly authenticity. By the way, this object is floating above the water. If it were a genuine ship, we would have to see in any case either a trough or a swell on the surface. Since the surface is flat, it is obviously not a genuine ship. In my opinion, none of these 3 pictures show genuine objects in flight or UFOs. Here in this picture I see above all no artificial object in flight. It seems much more to deal with only a light reflex in your simple optical cameras. You really ought to be intelligent enough not to fall for a mix-up like that. When your general public chases counterfeits and frauds for a long time, then they will presumably discover too late what is really going on in front of them in their atmosphere. Photo 2, Albiosque, France, 1974. This one seems to be genuine, at least it displays the necessary characteristics. I would assign it at first glance to an alien species who have been visiting your planet for the last 35 years or so. The object itself is metallic and disc-shaped. Certainly it is distorted in form and color by means of a field effect. These four white and very long processes on the underside of the ship itself portray a kind of quasi-gravitational light manipulation, that is, the universal force field is being shifted in the direction of a simulated gravity. Actually, it is not a genuine light, it is mostly not a genuine light whenever you see illuminating UFOs, but a special strongly charged form field which manifests itself in the space that matter inhabits as a quasi-light. The reason for the activation of this special high-energy system in an atmosphere is not completely clear to me. It's possible that it is a kind of investigating or influencing of the environment. In any case, it is terribly careless of that species to allow this technology to be photographed by humans. Well, I guess that most of you just plain don't understand it, and those who do will not say anything about it to the general public. Photo 4, Petit Rechain, Belgium, 1990. This is in fact a genuine aerial object. It is in no way extraterrestrial. Triangular aerial objects in flight are simply not used by alien species, or not in this form, at least. That streamlined kind of form is a human concept. It is one of your own secret military projects that you build with the help of immature alien technology that was handed over to you by the extraterrestrials during the 1960s and the 1970s. Generally, the form of the hull for a genuine extraterrestrial ship is of no consequence, for inside the field itself there are no exterior forces that have any effect there. In general, the ships have a rounded-off form and they are built without hard edges as a disc or a cylinder, so that the field can flow more easily. Your projects decree that along with the alien drive field there also be a conventional jet engine system, therefore, they are always triangular and built thus with streamlining in order to be steerable with this primitive recoil principle. In the example here the ship glides above all on its genuine field drive. Do you see the distortion and the quasi-light in the rotating cylinders? That is an unmistakable indication for the authenticity of the photo. But why, you might ask, are there four cylinders? That's unusual, even the interval seems to be incorrect. The coloring is very dark and the interior optical distortion is very noticeable. Presumably a reconstruction of the original system by your scientists. Since the alien species has just not given you any more information since the disagreement, they are rebuilding the system single-handedly without actually being able to understand what kind of dangerous thing they are doing there. This construction does not make the system better, only more unstable. Both of the forward cylinders are too close to each other. They will definitely flow into each other. The color shows me a powerful residual radiation. It was probably the case that high elements were used again as customary for the shifting. It is in any case very dangerous to be unshielded in the vicinity of the field. Did the person who took the photo display any kind of radiation and burn damage? Question: I don't know. Where do these military UFOs come from? From the United States? Answer: yes. I think generally that's true. From the Western continent. Question: why then do they fly over thickly populated areas of Europe? This photo comes from Belgium. That doesn't make any sense. Can you explain? Answer: why is it that only I am able to explain strange human deeds? It's possible that these are long-distance tests or tests with the electromagnetic camouflage systems. The old enemy of the American nation is on this side of the world, so why shouldn't they test here? At home they've had enough time to have had their ships crossing back and forth. Maybe they have aroused too much observation there. With one of those kinds of unstable field structures as your photo indicates, I consider it somewhat improbable that that ship is capable of making a flight of that length over the ocean. It's possible there is a test station here on your continent. Unfortunately, I don't know anything about it. Question: many readers of the first transcript have posed the question how your original contact with EF came about. I already know the story from your narratives, but could you repeat it here once again for this volume and for the new transcript? Answer: of course. Now, the story began about 2 of your years ago here in Sweden. I have been strongly interested in your species and your behavior since my youth. I had already studied your literature at that time, as well as possible. Naturally, it is not easy in my homeland to come into possession of human books, but since my group or family stands in a higher ranking order, I was able to gather some material together and sometimes to speak with others of my kind who have already been in contact with you. I was really very curious about your species, and as soon as I was allowed to come to the surface, I attempted to assemble more information immediately. Above all, it was expressly forbidden for me to commence direct contact with humans because in my position at that time, there existed no necessity for doing so. It was in your year 1998, when I was on my way further north from here in the remote forests in the vicinity of the entrance to my world and was looking for biological specimens, which we use in order to watch over environmental pollution and destruction of your flora and fauna statistically by your own kind. At the time, I was already on the return path to the entrance. We can even orient ourselves more easily, by the way, through our senses to the Earth's magnetic field, and already in the vicinity of the large lake, when much to my surprise I came across a cabin in the woods. In this cabin I sensed a human consciousness, awareness. It was EF actually. I had no permission for contact with another species, but by the same token I had set in place my mimicry capability quite successfully prior to this. Even with larger groups of you, I had never ever come across a human being when I was alone. Now, let's call it primitive curiosity. I wanted to talk with the person in this cabin, and so I knocked on the door. He opened the door and we got into an interesting conversation. His language was not quite yet common at that time for me, but it's not all that hard to learn a new language when one can read the information in the consciousness awareness of the opposite individual. I simply told him that I came from a foreign country in the East. Of course, at the time, he did not really recognize who I was. He was totally convinced that he was talking with a creature of his own kind, although it was simply only a mimicry image. Since my assignment anyway had as its goal an investigation of this terrain which was to last for several days, I visited him in this span of time 3 times as a human person. At first we talked mainly about really ordinary things, later we got into religious and physical topics. He seemed to be impressed by my knowledge, and I was likewise impressed with his clear thoughts and his, for a human being, well-displayed personality structure and his own opinions. You really like giving yourselves over completely to a public opinion or conditioning, as for example, reptilian species are evil and stuff like that. I steered the conversation in this direction, and DF said something to the effect that he believed in alien species and that they did not have to necessarily be evil, but perhaps only different than his kind are. That pleased me. At that juncture of time, of course, I could not speak concretely with him about my knowledge because he wouldn't have believed me, he would have taken me for a human practical joker. I cultivated the very, very unusual idea, for my kind, to show him my true exterior, something that I did during our conversation at our 4th meeting in the cabin. Actually, he was predestined for contact. He was open-minded, honest, intelligent, not religiously inclined or conditioned. He lived alone and isolated, and no one would believe him, should he decide to go public with his story.